Of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And there's an old Chinese proverb, something about may you live in interesting times. Well, we live in interesting and frightening and exciting and dangerous and terrifying times. And, well, here to help explain what's really going on in the world, our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, what are the major stories this morning?
Well, the top story for today's World Affairs Brief is going to be ruling by executive decree. The only difference between the German experience with executive decrees, Hitler's 1933 Enabling Act, and the Bush administration's continued use of executive orders is merely the speed of implementation. Hitler's did it in one fell swoop, and they're taking little incremental steps to get people used to the president running the country by executive order. Both of these systems base executive power on a continual state of emergency to justify these onerous emergency powers. And both use deception and black operations to provoke fear of terror to keep the nation in a continual sense of fear and war. The fact that these U.S. emergency powers were enacted long ago and enhanced by both parties over time attests to me, at least, that this is not merely a Bush-Cheney phenomenon. We're simply seeing its long-intended implementation at a very accelerated pace. And so this week I'll be analyzing two of the executive's orders, the CIA order supposedly banning terror, and which it does no such thing, and the executive order blocking property of certain persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq.
All right, well, I think that everybody should be concerned about this. And really, there's so little outcry from you know, our congressional leaders. This is the thing. There should be a demand there for immediate impeachment of the president and the vice president, and maybe even the Speaker of the House. I'm not certain, but they're not doing it. They're all afraid.
Yes, they really are. John Conyers, for example, the head of the Black Caucus there in Congress, has made a lot of noise over the past about Bush and Cheney are out of here. We're going to get rid of them. And, defied their oath of office and made all kinds of sounds that he was going to support impeachment. And yet when Cindy Sheehan and others went up to his office the other day to press him on the issue, he refused to commit, said, no, we're not going to impeach. We don't have the votes. And she said, well, at least you can try. You can at least make a showing that there are people. And he wouldn't do it.
Sure.
And she staged a little mini protest there, and he called the Capitol Police and had her arrested and hauled off to jail with about 30 other probe impeachment people. So, but this apparently is standard fare for John Conyers. He's always been making flip-flopping on this issue, going back and forth. Whenever they press him, though, he won't go through with any impeachment, and neither will Nancy Pelosi. Cindy Sheehan says she's going to run against Pelosi. I don't think she'll win. But, this Congress is very much a part of the problem.
I'm sure that it is. And, of course, what a travesty. However, if there were enough people out there who were really concerned, and this was an issue that they were calling and writing their congressman and emailing him and faxing him and calling him again, if there were enough people doing it, why, the members of the House of Representatives would sit up and take notice.
Yes, but I'm still not sure they'd do anything. I mean, look at the fact that 70% of the American people are against this war, want us out of this war in Iraq, and neither the Congress nor the Bush administration are going to do it. They find all kinds of little technical excuses to keep doing what they're doing. You know, going back to these emergency orders, the president always begins them by addressing his constitutional authority. And it isn't constitutional. These are statutory authority, which are questionable at best. He cites the International Emergency Economic Powers Act and the National Emergencies Act. these actually aren't the core emergency acts that go back a long way, clear back into the Eisenhower administration. But interestingly enough, the National Emergency Act of 1976, which the president cites, was passed to stop open-ended states of national emergency, exactly what we've been living under, and formalize congressional checks and balances on presidential emergency powers. This is incredible that he would invoke this, because the act sets a limit of 2 years on states of national emergency, and the national emergencies, which he quote, date to 2003. They're out of date. But Congress is not calling on him. Congress is not using the procedural formalities involved in the National Emergency Act, which they passed in 1976 to stop these kinds of continual emergencies. So it's interesting, you know, if you go to the trouble of reading these emergency acts, you'll see how, I'm sure you have, Dr. Stan, but your listeners will see how totalitarian are the powers granted the president in an emergency, and there are virtually no limit on his powers to declare such an emergency for almost any reason. Now, as I said, these powers are not necessarily constitutional, even though they're passed by Congress. The Constitution is a limit on lawmaking power of Congress and its legislative powers, and it limits them to enumerated functions. There are no such emergency powers ever enumerated in the Constitution, allowing suspension of habeas corpus, except it specifically does mention a time of declared war. We're certainly not in a declared war. Now, this executive order essentially directs federal agencies to confiscate or block access to funds or property of any person, including U.S. citizens. This is not like the National Military Commissions Act, which specifically excludes U.S. citizens from being in the target of that act. This would include U.S. citizens in its definitions. But it does so without due process. That is, you're taking away property without due process, which is a violation of the Constitution, and without warning. And the administration determines that this will apply to anyone who commit or pose a significant risk of committing. I mean, you talk about dangerous, broad legal language. Someone who poses a significant risk of committing an act or acts of violence that have the purpose or effect of threatening the peace or stability of Iraq or the government of Iraq, or undermining efforts to promote economic reconstruction and political reform. Now, I've been a critic of political reform in Iraq, calling it a sham, and so actually I'm undermining, obviously, the political reform in Iraq.
Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen as we begin to explore the move towards dictatorship. Ladies and gentlemen, it can happen here.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m. followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Yes, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this morning is Joel Skousen. Joel, pick up your dissertation, please.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit in detail about whether or not this new executive order really does restrict people using their First Amendment rights to criticize or impede the U.S. program in Iraq. Two significant people in the movement have said that it does. Steve Watson of Prison Planet complained loudly that President Bush's new executive order states that any American citizen who threatens the peace and stability of Iraq or undermines efforts to promote reconstruction can have all their property interests seized by the U.S. Treasury without warning. G. Edward Griffin, who's no small legal mind, and Aaron Russo agree when they claim President Bush signed an executive order that authorized blocking the use of any property held by anyone who says it's a threat to the stability of Iraq. That means anyone who opposes this Middle East foreign policy now is subject to loss of home, automobile, savings, investments, and anything else considered as property. But as Debbie Kidd, who's a real stickler for details, correctly notes, she says, "I'm sorry, but this EO says no such thing." Now, she's right, as usual. The specific language of this order limits its reach, quote, "to deal with any unusual and an extraordinary threat which has its source in whole or part outside the United States." So it's talking about sources of threat that are outside the United States. Now, that said, there is another part of this order which is so broad that it can include innocent citizens who unknowingly are deemed, quote, "in support of those whose property is blocked by the order." Now, in other words, there's two parts of this order. One, the people who are direct threats, whose source of that threat is whole in the, or substantially part outside the United States, can't have the property blocked. But there's another part, in Part B, Section B, where the President claims the power to include persons who have, quote, "to have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, logistical, or technical support, or goods or services in support of any person whose property has been blocked pursuant to this order." Now, materially assist is a very broad legal phrase, and that can include almost any form of financial dealing, even innocent and unknowing. So using one's First Amendment right to criticize government action in Iraq is not going to fit under giving material support. So you won't find Debbie Kidd nor me arrested for having accused the government of improper use of law to support Iraqi reconstruction or funding a puppet regime in Baghdad. Nevertheless, I have to agree with the critics' long-term view that all of these incremental uses of executive power point to an eventual takedown of citizens' constitutional protections. It is unwise, I believe, to declare each new thrust, however, of this out-of-control administration as the coup de grace of our rights. That will only discredit our voice of warning. So as a further example, you know, I mentioned the Military Commissions Act before, which clearly applied language containing, or it had language limiting its application to non-citizens. Nevertheless, the Bush administration, without statutory language, illegally denied habeas corpus to citizen Jose Padilla, who was kept in prison without charge for over 3 years, and a court upheld his legal challenge saying, as long as he isn't charged with a crime, a citizen could be held indefinitely. And that's just ludicrous. It's just turning the Constitution on its head. So other critics of this, like Bruce Fein, former Justice Department official during the Reagan administration, commented, "Certainly it is highly constitutionally questionable to empower the government to destroy someone economically without giving notice. This is so sweeping, it's staggering. I've never seen anything so broad that expands beyond terrorism, beyond seeking to use violence or the threat of violence to commit or intimidate a population. So that's the essence of that. I think, as I say, it's too broad to say this threatens every critic of Iraq with their property. It does not do that, but it does, in fact, cast a broad net for anyone who may have business dealings with anyone who is running a fund supporting anti-government activities in Iraq. But let's consider in general now the legal basis of executive orders. This is important to understand more and more as the government moves to use these. This particular president has gone beyond the proper role of executive power, as has been customary over the years relative to these executive orders. Basically, an EO, or executive order, is merely an instruction from the president to his own executive branch, directing them to do things that ultimately must find support in lawful statutes. In no case is it appropriate to create new law or punishments applicable to citizens or other branches of government outside the executive where not specifically mentioned in law. Now, in other words, it's like a corporation is free, a head of a corporation is free to give instructions to his own corporation. But he's not free to give instructions to that corporation to go out and arrest citizens if there is no law authorizing the executive branch or that corporation to go arrest citizens. Now, constitutional lawyer Larry Beecraft pointed out to Debbie Kidd that certain case law has been overturned by the Supreme Court, has overturned executive privilege. The big case is Youngstown Steel versus Sawyer. The Supreme Court essentially overturned President Truman's attempt to nationalize a U.S. steel company under the guise of war and economic emergencies. Nevertheless, one or two case law doesn't make an impenetrable barrier to judicial mischief. Such decisions like Youngstown versus Sawyer could easily be construed as having to do with another time and another place. They did not address terrorism. They only addressed emergency economic powers during wartime, which was declared war, by the way. Well, actually, it was during, I think, the Korean period. But in any case, the courts are still free to disregard prior precedent. And with the current proclivity of the Supreme Court to back this administration's war on terror, I would not bet on this precedent protecting us against dangerous executive orders. So now a little bit about the CIA executive order. This has a totally different purpose than that other, which is an expansion of executive power. This executive order purports to regulate and limit the CIA's ability to hold persons in secret prisons and torture them. In fact, it does no such thing. It is completely a ruse. The specific language carefully carves out unspoken areas and permits those areas by what it doesn't say. As Marty Letterman commented, which I quote in my brief, the only truly important section of the EO on the CIA torture is Section 3BI, which says or defines the category of violence which will be deemed to violate Common Article 3, which is of the Geneva Convention. In addition to torture as defined by the Federal Criminal Statute, the forms of violence that remain prohibited under the new War Crimes Act, that subsection of the EO, which 3BI, prohibits only, quote, other acts of violence serious enough to be considered comparable to murder, torture, mutilation, or cruel and inhumane treatment as defined by the War Crimes Act. In other words, if a form of violence is not already prohibited by the federal criminal law, it's not comparable to the forms of violence prohibited by the War Crimes Act. And therefore, the CIA is not prohibited from using it. So this is a very convoluted piece of legalese that they've written, which essentially says the only thing that the CIA is prohibited from are things specifically listed in the War Crimes Act. I think it's obvious that this new EO does not prohibit enhanced interrogation techniques like waterboarding, which is near drowning by pouring water constantly over the head of a person with a bag, linen bag over his head, so that they get water down their nose and mouth and they start drowning. The administration knows it. Every attempt to ask an administration official, including Mitch McConnell, who's in charge of all of the intelligence agencies about waterboarding, was met with evasion. this is just an incredible piece of disinformation here. And they put out an executive order merely as something to be able to trumpet before the press to give the appearance as if the U.S. is bringing the CIA in compliance, and they're doing no such thing. It's a trick.
Well, you wonder what sort of moral human beings these are who are allowing torture of captives, many of whom have never committed a crime, have no information. It's almost as if they enjoy bringing horror and fear to the hearts of innocent people. And there have been instances where people have been, frankly, killed during these torture episodes and gotten off scot-free. And you wonder, in fact, there was one instance I remember where they tortured to death an Iraqi general who had just come to the police station trying to find out what happened to his sons. And when the American was tried for it and was exonerated, everyone in the courtroom broke into cheers and applause. And you wonder what's happened to the soul of America.
Yes. Well, you know, it's just amazing what propaganda can do. I just got an email this morning from a Bush supporter, critical of my writings, which are critical of Bush, showing me a whole bunch of pictures from England about Muslims demonstrating with their signs that infidels should be beheaded, anyone who opposes Islam or Islam will rule the world, and anyone who opposes us will be killed, saying, you know, look, the press doesn't show these pictures, which would definitely boost the Bush war on terror. This is what Islam really is, and it's not that true at all. I mean, I really don't buy this conflict of civilization. There are parts of every religious group that can be viewed in certain ways as extreme, and certainly there are Muslims. But if you look back at who's promoting these, who's getting these Muslims to go take to the streets, we'll find actually that there's government informants and agent provocateurs who are helping them design these signs, giving them protection, making sure that their faces are covered so that they can't be arrested. And a lot of this is trumped up. Now, that isn't to say there aren't some very radical Muslims out there. But I'm saying that that is not typical of all of the Muslim people. And, in fact, it is this fomenting of hatred, which is done by governments and which is done by conspiracy. And it's done by people who use these people as cannon fodder to create these wars that is really behind this. I think someday when the second coming of the Lord comes and when the secret acts of men are revealed upon the earth, we're going to see that the Lord's not just concerned about mafia, but the secret acts of men who control governments where the greatest evils occur.
Well, you know, I'm always entertained when I see these massive demonstrations in places like Baghdad, and people are marching down the streets with these big signs in English now, condemning America. And I'm wondering, why would they have all these signs in English, in Baghdad or some foreign
country? Somebody's tutoring them, Dr.
Obviously,
Stan.
This is for the television cameras, because most, the people over there can't read English.
That's right. It's obviously been done in a planned way to reach a message to the Americans that how radical we are.
Right. You wonder how gullible the American people are. Or what was that old saying, never underestimate the gullibility of the American people?
Well, it takes a little bit of sophistication, frankly, to see through some of these things, and that's, frankly, the role of the media. The media should be able to point out when things are not as they seem to be. And the media often doesn't ask the crucial questions, and that's one of the signs that they want propaganda to go forth, and they're promoting it.
That's your job, Joel, and that's what you do so well.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and you too. But, that's executive orders are not the only way of expanding presidential power. This week we also saw Representative Peter DeFazio, a Democrat of Oregon, member of the Homeland Security Committee, being denied access to classified documents concerning continuity of government, how the government will be conducted during a terrorist attack. Literally, the government is saying, we're not going to let you see this. And he says, I'm part of the continuity of government. I have a right to see this.
We'll be back in just a minute with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Center.
With Destiny Lending, manufactured homes have been difficult to finance. Has that changed?
Yes. We have programs for up to 100% financing on single and double wide, with or without land. Rural homes also qualify. Stop paying outrageous interest rates just because you own a manufactured home.
So call Angela Smith with Destiny Lending, 970-988-3840. That's 970-988-3840.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Kath every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Are you treating just your symptoms with dangerous medications and a multitude of supplements? If you answered yes, then you may be fighting the battle but losing the war. Nourish each cell in your body with BioSuperfood and win the war. 30 years of research, BioSuperfood offers more than 5,000 nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, EFAs, and powerful antioxidants to boost your immune system. With BioSuperfood, the war is won at the cellular level. Call today toll-free 877-288-9116. Columbine Hearing Center understands your hearing, speaking, and listening problems. Call highly qualified, nationally certified audiologist Michelle Gross for your hearing test, hearing aid, and listening rehabilitation needs. With 25 years of experience, you will get accurate diagnosis and treatment, undivided attention, and service. Call 303-857-6688 for a personal hands-on evaluation. Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. Financing Medicaid and Medicare available.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, let's get your web address out there, email, so people could get in touch with you and perhaps get a copy of the World Affairs Brief. And they may even want to subscribe to it, as I do, because it's a wonderful source of information.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. My work is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's www.worldaffairsbrief.com. On the front page, you'll see a synopsis of the week's brief. I do this weekly news analysis service once a week, and it's sent out to a subscriber list by email at a very modest rate for a weekly update of the news and analysis. If people want a one-time copy of the World Affairs Brief, it's available to them free by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Also on the website, you'll find lots of free information, especially in my archival material on the right-hand column about government cover-ups, how to analyze the news, a special piece that I've written called Strategic Threats of the Coming Decay, talking about the threat of eventual nuclear war and retaliation due to our intervention around the world, the purposeful agenda behind it by our globalist leaders who are attempting to force us through war into a new world order. And on the left-hand column of my website, you'll see a list of some of the books and materials that I've prepared over the years on how I suggest that people prepare for this coming takedown of America.
Well, I commend certainly your web page and your weekly analysis, and I do hope many of our listeners want to get it because they need to be on the cutting edge of what's going on so they can talk intelligently to others and raise many of the questions you raise on this radio program. So please go right ahead.
Well, you know, one of the most egregious presumptions of power of the Bush-Cheney regime comes with the expansion of war powers based upon the president standing as commander-in-chief. But, you know, this is really not true. Even though the Constitution clearly makes the Constitution makes the president commander-in-chief, it does not give him the sweeping powers that he suggests. The framers took this from the British military, which is used to denote the highest-ranking official in a theater of battle. Alexander Hamilton emphasized this in Federalist Papers number 69 when he said the president would be nothing more than the first general admiral responsible for command and direction of the military forces. However, you know, the founders would have been astonished at President Bush's surges, and that Congress should simply write checks for him to fund the war, and that once they've authorized it, that they can't stop him. In fact, if Congress has the power to fund the war, they have the power to defund the war, and they also have the power to declare war. They have the power to withdraw any War Powers Act that they have given the president at any time, and that's clearly in the law. Now, the framers expected Congress to keep the president on a short leash on military matters. The founders were especially anxious about keeping us out of foreign wars and other interventions that we are engaged in today. Other intrusions of liberty by this Bush administration are coming. The Justin Hood report says that the FBI is taking cues from the CIA and going to recruit thousands of covert informants in the United States as part of a sprawling effort to boost its intelligence capabilities. And, of course, this was in response to a 2004 presidential decision directive ordering the Bureau to improve its counterterrorism efforts and to boost its human intelligence capabilities. Now, I've reported many times in my World Affairs brief, Dr. Stan, on the primary use of informants in counterterrorism. Almost all don't just inform, but they act as agent provocateurs to induce young malcontents who are Muslims to plan and carry out unsophisticated acts of terror. All the sophisticated acts of terror, like 9/11, are done with black ops, CIA, and otherwise. There's a whole entity within the dark side of government, whether it's in the CIA, the FBI, the INS, DEA. There's a whole series in each one of these agencies that are undercover, that do illegal acts, and that have their own budgeting, mostly financed through either the printing of currency or the drug sales that come from the CIA drug pipelines. But this new effort of recruiting thousands seems dangerously close to a new tactic well-established in Nazi Germany, the establishment of spies among the people to watch for anti-government sentiments. Just as in Germany and Russia, savvy citizens have to start learning to see who among them are government eyes and ears watching for anti-government activity.
Well, you know, on many occasions, I've had people either on the air or when I was doing TV interviews or other things say, oh, we're going to have to take up arms to overthrow the government, aren't we? And these people, and I know several of them, are actually government informants trying to entrap me. You cannot trust, I hate to say this, but it is very difficult to trust anyone today because you never know whether your best friend could be an FBI informant. It happened to my friend Pat Matriciana. It happened to Michael Rupert. It happened to the people who ran Media Bypass. It happened to many conservative organizations having nothing to do with terror, just trying to expose what was going on. And they infiltrated those organizations and spent years trying to entrap people. That's what they did with Randy Weaver before they killed his wife and son and nobody went to prison for that.
That's right. The entrapment is tremendous. Every single right-wing militia group has got their government informants inside, and that's why one has to be very, very careful. One of the ways in which they have attempted to entrap me is you have someone calling out claiming to be a government whistleblower, that they have secret material they want me to take possession of. And, of course, it's illegal for a private person to knowingly take possession of classified material that he is not authorized to see. And so I always refuse, telling them, send me a summary of that, and then I never hear from them. So we need to be very careful there of these types of things.
And what a terrible thing it is when we suddenly have a nation of informants, and we're paying our taxes to hire these informants. Are these only supposed to be for to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden? Or do they want information on every citizen in America? They certainly keep collecting dossiers on each and every one of us.
Well, certainly they've got to worry about information overload. They really, you know, to a certain extent, they are trying to computerize a great deal of information with surveillance cameras that they're now proposing for urban areas in the United States, just as they do in London. They made a big deal out of this latest London pseudo-bombing scare with the petrol cans in the cars. But they were able to find those vehicles through these traffic monitoring cameras, watching for the license plate of this doctor who was related to this Mercedes that was found, or at least one of the owner of the Mercedes, and using facial recognition software. It is an Orwellian situation, and clearly is intended to establish a form of government tyranny, and that's what we have to be ever careful of.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here, the American Jew.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Many Christians have health problems that hinder their quality of life and their ministry. The Green Herb is offering you an opportunity to help these hurting Christians. You can have your own Green Herb home business for just $950. This includes inventory, training, samples, and everything you need to get started. This is not network marketing. It's a genuine opportunity to build a business. How do I know? Linda and I started in our home almost 15 years ago, and we would like to help you start your own herbal business. We are not looking for high-profile salespeople, just someone who loves the Lord and wants to help his people. For more information, call me, Tom Phillips, at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. I'm looking forward to your call, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Here at the American Freedom Network for the last segment of our program this morning with Joel Skousen. Joel, please pick up the story from there.
Well, let's move on to Iraq and the situation over there. We're seeing a situation this week where the Iraqi government seems to be imploding. very interesting to watch how the al-Maliki government really continues to play as a puppet of the United States. They have every opportunity, in fact, to bolster, if they really wanted the Americans out, to bolster that withdrawal of the troops, because President Bush has gone on record as saying, we will leave anytime the Iraqi government wants us to leave. And the best that al-Maliki could come, last week I reported, he said the Americans can leave anytime they want, but he stopped short of asking them to leave, because obviously he's under their control, as well as meeting the billions of dollars that the Americans keep promising them. Of course, there's strings attached there. But this week, in a bold power play, Iraqi's largest Sunni bloc in parliament suspended cabinet membership. The bloc of Sunni politicians suspended their membership in the government Wednesday in a bid that appeared timed to deepen disenchantment in Washington with the Shiite prime minister's faltering leadership. In other words, it's the Sunnis that are trying to destabilize the Shiite leadership of al-Maliki because he's acting as a puppet of the United States. This was the Iraqi Accordance Front, which has six cabinet seats and 44 of the 275 members of parliament. So anyway, they have given a demand or a list of demands to al-Maliki, or they have said that their ministers will quit the 14-month-old government. This suspension, of course, is only the latest challenge to al-Maliki's dwindling ability to govern the country and promote national reconciliation. The Sunni bloc says it wants, among other things, pardons for detainees not facing specific criminal charges and for all militias to be disbanded. And that's a fairly reasonable demand. There's thousands and thousands of Iraqis in prisons and just being kept under indefinite prison charges, and there's nothing specific. These people ought to be released.
Other thing is the fact that you have these large private armies over there, large private militias. How can you possibly control a country when you're allowing private armed militias to exist? I've never understood that.
Yeah, and the U.S., of course, would never tolerate that here in the United States. And they do not tolerate it, but they tolerate it over there because, as I've stated many times in my World Affairs brief, the real purpose of the United States is to justify continued occupation, and the way to justify that is to continue to have social unrest and near civil war among the people. I mean, in April, five ministers loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr quit the government over al-Maliki's refusal to set a timeline for American forces to leave. So it's very clear that al-Maliki is a puppet of the United States. Other more radical things are happening. Top aide to Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani was stabbed to death in Sistani's office. He was killed Friday in his office, or last Friday, a week ago, adjacent to Sistani's home in the holy city of Najaf. In short, it's going to be very hard, Dr. Stan, for General Petraeus to present a positive picture of progress in Iraq when these kinds of defections occur in the government. He's got till September 15th to produce a report, and it's obviously going to just say, we don't have enough information to really report on any progress, and we just need more time. They're going to continue to bide for time. And in the meantime, national intelligence estimate blowing the whistle on supposedly on Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda rising up apparently is getting under a lot of scrutiny. Ross Story pointed out that current and former intelligence sources say the Bush administration's national intelligence estimate regarding terrorist threats to the United States does not provide any evidence to support its assertions and may have inflated the domestic threat posed by the Lebanese political and military group Hezbollah. Simply because it receives financial support from Iran and they're trying to target Iran. According to the report, Hezbollah, a Shiite militia group with ties to Iran, has been labeled a terrorist organization. The report says may start to target the U.S. domestically if the U.S. poses a serious threat to Iran. But the sources Ross Story talked to said, and these were actual people within the intelligence community, said these allegations about Hezbollah were simply thrown in without any evidence. one of the sources told her, it says the NIE, National Intelligence Estimate, seems fiddled with regarding Hezbollah. Whether or not it is really not the point. The point is nobody's ready to believe it. Nobody in the CIA talks to Hezbollah, and they're living off their assessments from back in the 80s when they really never got it right anyway. Former CIA case officer Robert Baer, 20-year intelligence professional with expertise in the Middle East, is also skeptical that Hezbollah will launch domestic attacks on U.S. soil. He said Hezbollah had all the opportunities and motivation to attack the U.S. during the past 24 years, and they've not done it, Baer said in a conversation. Why in God's name would Hezbollah resort to terrorism on the U.S. when the West already gave it what they wanted in Lebanon? So he's got a very interesting point.
Well, the last thing our leaders want is peace and stability in the Middle East, because if we had that, how could we justify staying there? And that's what it's all about. We want to be able to have a permanent presence in the Middle East to dominate that area, and we keep stirring the pot.
Well, certainly, Dr. Stan, if we had real terrorism, they'd be walking across our border every single day doing normal acts of terrorism. They don't have to wait for a major 9/11 type attack, which requires great sophistication. Of course, 9/11 was far beyond the capability of any terrorist organization because you had to have inside access to the buildings to plant explosives in Building Number 7, as well as in World Trade Centers 1 and 2. They were riddled with explosives. These were done by professionals and not terrorists, because it was, in fact, the official security guards and agencies guarding the World Trade Center that shut the Trade Center down the weekend prior and one or two weekends prior to that to allow access to the building to be able to set these charges. And that's prima facie evidence that this was an inside job, not terrorism.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
My pleasure.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. Everyone knows what you can find at the end of a rainbow. That's right, a pot full of gold. But who can find the end of a rainbow? Well, we have, and it's down at the corner. That's right, the corner. The Corner Coins and Jewelry Incorporated. Family owned and operated by John and Carol Anderson for over 16 years. Specializing in precious metals, gold and silver investments, and rare coins. Have it and hold it locally down at the corner. The corner of Remington and Mulberry in Fort Collins. The Corner Coins and Jewelry, 970-482-7759. That's 970-482-7759.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
Stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and if you really want to understand what happened on 9-1-1, we have a number of tape sets. I think my 9-1-1 update, our four tape set or four CD set, why did the buildings come down? Important. We have a number of DVDs, You can get, I think, 5 DVDs of the special rate. They're all different. 911 Mysteries, 911 Press for the Truth. You can get them all together, too, as a special. But we want you to understand they lied to us about that. Just as they lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, it never occurred. And Robert McNamara knew that, and the other people knew that, and they sent our boys over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die as a great distraction, as they brought in the social revolution, the socialist revolution here. And if you doubt that that was the motivation, you need to read the article, January 1967, Foreign Affairs Magazine, The End of Either Or, written by McGeorge Bundy, Skull and Bones, Council on Foreign Relations, National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, who supervised that great victory we had at the Bay of Pigs, where they sent those boys in to die, promised America ever, promised them supplies, sent them to the one area where they'd be certain that they could not be victorious, and then forgot to tell the vast network in Cuba of anti-communists about the attack, so that they could rise up and overthrow Fidel. It was all a scam. Vietnam was a scam. And what about the current war? We've never sent enough men to win. And, of course, but we had to have a justification to go, and that was 9/11. Again, the 4-tape or CD set, Why Did the Buildings Come Down? And then, of course, the 4-tape set, 9/11 Update, and so much more available from Radio Liberty. You can get our special on the DVDs, or if you're only going to get one, get the 9/11 Press for the Truth. I think it's my favorite of all of them, but 9/11 Mysteries, Terror Storm, In Plain Sight, or 9/11, The Day That Changed America Forever, they're all good. Understand, it was engineered. How do we know it was engineered? Well, I talked to a fellow just the other day, and we're going to be having him on my programs. It was on 9/11 when he was sitting in a bar. He saw some fellow sitting next to him as President Bush was up on the screen, and the fellow said that, and I won't repeat what he said, but he knew it was coming, and this young man, his name is Paul, looked and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Look, I'm with the CIA. I was sent over here to cool down. I knew this was coming down. I knew they were going to kill all those people," and he hesitated for a minute, and he said, "But if they ever knew that I told you this, why, I'd be a dead man, and so would you." And this was on 9/11 that this occurred, and you'll hear Paul tell this story. You can read Robert Baer's book, See No Evil, where he quotes one of the highest people in the CIA as saying, "When the dust finally settles, the American people will realize what happened on 9/11 wasn't a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph." The book, See No Evil, it's available from Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Help us get out the truth before more people die. Till tomorrow, on Monday, and the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
I'm Hope Duggar. The White House denies that FBI Chief Robert Mueller has contradicted Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's sworn Senate testimony on the president's secretive wiretapping program. Gonzalez had insisted the domestic spy program was not the issue during a dramatic hospital visit to then-Attorney General John Ashcroft. Mueller implied at a White House hearing Thursday that it was. At least 28 people were killed as a simultaneous truck bombing and rocket attack devastated a Shiite market district in one of Baghdad's safest neighborhoods. At least 95 were wounded, and the military says seven.